Ladies and gentlemen, Christian patriots across Virginia, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon. Before I get to what's going to be in today's show, I want to tell you about how to listen to Radio Free Virginia. You can listen on Podbean. That's like Jack and the Beanstalk Bean. The other way you can listen is on our website, radiofreeva.com. And you can find us on Facebook, and we're almost to 1,000 likes, which is pretty cool. I've been keeping track of that stuff and putting good content, I think, up on Facebook, so check that out if you're over on Mark Zuckerberg's surveillance system. Today's episode is episode 20-8, the eighth episode of 2020. In today's show, I'll be talking about militia musters in Zimbabwe. What do the two have to do with each other? Nothing. But I have a history with Zimbabwe. I was there in the 90s and I just saw some interesting stories about what's going on over there. I thought I'd share that with you because I do think those have some parallels to what happens when a government completely dissolves into, anarchy, essentially. But before I get started, I'm going to talk about the Cold Civil War that is happening. And essentially, what did we just have? Well, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis of the American Cold Civil War. A friend of mine wrote this, and he put it up on the Gunners of Virginia Facebook page. I'm going to read it to you. A strategic assessment of the demise of the Virginia assault weapons ban. We must face the grim reality that, like the Cold War with the Soviet Union, we are in a zero-sum game with a revolutionary movement that seeks to seize the apparatus of state power to impose a godless, immoral, and radical ideology on the American people. The simultaneous assault by the governor and the Democratic Party on religious liberty, the unborn, educational freedom, economic freedom, election law, and the right to keep and bear arms exposes an overall design to impose an absolute despotism on the Commonwealth of Virginia. The actions of the Virginia Democrats, combined with the radical rhetoric of their presidential candidates, the emergence of a socialist as their frontrunner, and the now common violence of Antifa cells across America, makes itself evident that the Democrat political apparatus and its radical base are at war with any Americans who still cling to their guns and their religion. This broader context of leftist activity makes it clear that gun control has nothing to do with preventing violent crime or mass shootings, but is about controlling people. Only tyrants need a disarmed society. The synchronized assault on Virginia election law, enabling voter fraud and gun control, is evidence that the grand designs of the Democrat Party is one-party rule over a disarmed and defenseless populace. This struggle with the radical left is now beyond the realm of traditional politics. It's a cold civil war. The events that led to the demise of the Democrat Party's attempt to ban assault weapons was the Cuban Missile Crisis of this cold civil war. The original bill would have banned nearly 70% of all firearms in Virginia and would have made hundreds of thousands of Virginians felons overnight. This bill sparked a reaction that Governor Northam and his allies did not anticipate. Tens of thousands of armed patriots protesting in Richmond, and the emergence of spontaneous constitutional militia organizations across the Commonwealth. This strategic miscalculation by the governor and his allies brought Virginia to the brink of civil war. Had the original bill, or even its diluted versions, become law, and Governor Northam sought to enforce them, there would have been war. Tens of thousands of Virginia patriots made it clear that this is the red line. There would have been armed conflict between the forces of state power loyal to the governor and Virginia patriots. Ultimately, all traditional political tools had little or no impact on the tyrannical aims of the Democrat Party. However, once it was clear that the mass armed resistance would be the ultimate response, the ban was rapidly amended, weakened, and finally failed entirely in the Senate Judiciary Committee. The good news is that the Second Amendment worked as intended. It deterred government tyranny. The bad news is that now we know that the left is only deterred by the threat of war. We are no longer dealing with political opponents, but enemies. Now there can only be peace through strength. While the demise of the gun ban should be celebrated as a victory, the battle and the war is far from over. This session, there are still gun control bills moving through the legislature that need to be stopped, such as the unconstitutional red flag law. The Cuban Missile Crisis of the Cold Civil War may be over, but the neo-Soviet left is still out there. The Democrats have already vowed to bring this ban back next session. We must remember that the left lives by Lenin's adage of 2 steps forward, 1 step back. They never abandon their tyrannical designs, only refine and adapt their tactics and strategy. Now is not the time to demobilize the militia movement. The enemy has revealed its full intentions. Now is the time to consolidate gains, maintain momentum, and organize for future battles. We need county-recognized local militias so that when the next gun confiscation offensive comes, we are fully prepared to resist. The Cold Civil War will continue, and like all existential struggles with the Soviet Union, it will not end until the enemy is defeated. The radical left, these neo-Soviets, must be deterred with arms, their tyrannical ideology discredited, and their disciples driven from every American government and cultural institution. Without victory, there can be no peace. You know, this is just so well written. It's a perfect illustration of what happened. The communists in Richmond never give up. They don't go, oh man, you know, we didn't get that gun ban. Oh well, on to the next thing. Nope. They continue pushing forward. You know, they have essentially undone, in this legislative session, once it's all done and passed and signed, they have undone 20 years of gains made by conservatives in Virginia in 1 year. In a legislative session. One session. It's a part-time legislature. It's not even full-time. And so when I say, kind of tongue-in-cheek, that we're broadcasting from behind enemy lines, it's no joke. We're behind enemy lines here in Virginia. You patriots that are here. It's time to get mobilized. It's time to keep moving forward and not stop for a second. Don't let these communists win.
In addition to voting in all elections, become active in government. Run for local, state, and national office, or help select capable people of the highest integrity to serve. Be constantly vocal on all local and national political issues. Tell your representatives in Congress, or even the president himself, what you think is the best course on issues that come before the public.
Zimbabwe, which I'll be talking about later, has some other parallels to what's going on as far as communists go. Now, there's something called the Rhodesian Light Infantry. Zimbabwe used to be called Rhodesia. You should look that up. Rhodesian Light Infantry. Those guys were tough as nails. And they dropped these guys off, two or three of them with a helicopter, in the middle of nowhere, tiny little backpack, a rifle. They're wearing shorts, and they would survive out there, and they would kill communists. They were soldiers. But ultimately they lost, because while they won the physical battles in the war, they lost the political battles. They didn't see the communists, that while they were off fighting the communists with the rifles, there were communists in their local legislatures doing everything they can to strip them of their property and their lives. And when I get to the Zimbabwe segment, you'll understand what I'm talking about when you see what the suffering that is going on there and how it all came about. All right, now I want to talk about the Bedford County militia muster and militia musters in general. 500, give or take, people showed up. 369 signed up. And that's amazing. But it didn't just happen. Now, how can you do it? Well, I'm going to talk about that. You know, it was great to see so many patriots. You know, I spoke here. I was one of the lead organizers. And, well, here, have a listen.
Well, patriots, welcome to Bedford, Virginia's militia muster. And I want to thank all of you for taking the time out of your day to be here. I want to thank all the volunteers that have made this possible. Many of them longtime friends of mine. These are men and women of your community, veterans, business owners, hardworking residents of Bedford County. And their support and hard work and dedication to preserving liberty is what makes Virginia such a great place. To our friends from Floyd County who drove, well, a long way to be here to assist us, thank you. On Wednesday, members of this militia muster committee had a great meeting with Sheriff Miller and have opened a dialogue with him and his team. And we thank the sheriff for his time and look forward to a good working relationship with him in the months to come. Some of you are still not sure what all this is about. What is a militia and why should I be in one? The Second Amendment of the Constitution says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's not complicated, right? Article 1, Section 13 of the Constitution of Virginia says that a well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state. Therefore, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That standing armies in time of peace should be avoided as dangerous to liberty, and that in all cases the military should be under strict subordination to and governed by the civil power. The right to self-defense, the right to put food on your table, and the right and duty to fight tyranny. These are natural rights. They don't come from the Constitution of the United States. They don't come from the Constitution of Virginia. They come from God. We are here today to send a clear and collective message to the tyrants that would disarm us. We will not comply. We will resist tyranny. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's that security of a free state that is being threatened right now. Across this nation, laws identical, and I mean identical, to Virginia's anti-gun laws are being passed. Red flag laws, assault weapons bans, magazine bans, on and on the march towards tyranny goes. And there are many in Richmond, Virginia, that had the viewpoint that you should be disarmed. They are finally admitting they do want to take your guns. They've taken their recent and slim majority win at the polls as a mandate to strip you of your liberty. How many people were killed by Marxist communist tyrants in the last 100 years? It was more than 250 million people. And how did this start? It started by the people being disarmed, by a citizen's refusal to believe their government would do them harm. And we know better. We know that it starts with disarming the people. Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers, where are you at? He's here somewhere. There he is. Stuart Rhodes is here, and he sent out an email last night that I thought said it perfectly. I'm going to share some of this with you. Clearly, according to the Constitution of Virginia, the militia is all of the people of Virginia, and they are meant to all be trained to arms. The Virginia legislature long ago dropped the ball in actually organizing and training all the people by passing Virginia Code Section 44-1, composition of the militia, which states, "The militia of the Commonwealth of Virginia shall consist of all able-bodied residents of the Commonwealth who are citizens of the United States and all other able-bodied persons resident in the Commonwealth who have declared their intention to become citizens of the United States, who are at least 16 years of age and, except as hereinafter provided, not more than 55 years of age." The militia shall be divided into three classes, the National Guard, which includes the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard, the Virginia Defense Force, and the unorganized militia. An unorganized militia is an absurdity, and the state legislature has failed in its duty by leaving the great mass of the people of Virginia untrained and unorganized for generations. Governor Northam has revealed himself to be a wannabe tyrant, and he and the new Democrat majority in the legislature have made it clear that they intend to disarm the people of Virginia, and that means they intend to disarm the militia of Virginia. The intent is clear. And in reaction to that, the people, the militia, are realizing they must organize and train in mutual defense and mutual aid. Since the state has failed over generations to organize what the authors of the Virginia Constitution declared the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state, the people and their elected representatives in the towns and counties have a right and a duty to organize and train the people as the militia. And this duty is now an urgent necessity precisely because the tyrannical governor and state legislature has decided to travel the exact same path as tyrannical rural governors, Parliament, and the Crown in the time of Patrick Henry. Thank you, Stuart Rhodes, for those perfect words. So how will this look moving forward? That's what a lot of you here are wondering. We've already formed a committee to accomplish this muster, and we will expand this committee to begin the process of lobbying the Board of Supervisors to officially recognize the Bedford Militia. We will continue the work of organizing and training. We will begin to choose our own leaders from this community to lead the militia. We will make it clear in no uncertain terms that we will not comply with any violations of our gun rights or any rights granted to us by God. We will establish a system of communication. Volunteers will be grouped by supervisory district, and we will create and train for rapid response to a host of natural disasters and other threats to our lives and our property. Whatever form this militia takes on in the coming months, it will be what we the people make it. It will be what you make it. We need activists, lawyers, doctors, medics, radio operators, tradesmen. We need land to train on, and a cadre of trainers. I will serve my community and this militia in whatever capacity I'm needed. I have no doubt there are more capable leaders than myself in this crowd today. And we need leaders, men and women, that will stand up and say, I pledge my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor. If we fail in this animated contest of liberty, future generations will never know freedom as we've known it. Thank you.
So we had a great turnout. We had a great group of people sign up. We raised a considerable amount of money. We spent a considerable amount of money to make this happen. That's what you need to understand if you're thinking about organizing one of these. I do have a lot of good information posted up at Gun Owners of Virginia if you want to know how to do that. In there is a folder on that's got the roster cards and the muster text. And a couple changes on the muster text I would consider if you were going to do this yourself is there is a thing in the Virginia Code which says who are 16 years of age and not more than 55 years of age. I would get rid of that. One, you know, 55, you're still plenty capable of running around. 56, 60, I'd say up to the end of your 60s. There's no reason you can't be running around through the woods or wherever participating in this training that is going to be happening. However, that's not why I would take it out. I would take it out because that way you don't have to deal with the litany of emails and Facebook messages that talk about, you know, well, you little whippersnappers, oh, I guess you don't want old guys like me. And I'm quoting directly there. Well, not the whippersnapper part. But you might want to save yourself the hassle of having to deal with that. Also, I would modify the weapon inspection. I would just delete the weapon inspection. You know, when we say weapon inspection, we want to make sure as we walk around and we look, we're making sure that your gun isn't covered in rust and muck. We weren't looking at serial numbers. But that was another question we had regularly. And I don't think that kept anyone from showing up. Because if you're paranoid like that, you're not coming anyway. You're going to make up some reason why you can't be there, why it's a bunch of garbage or whatever. You're not going to show up at something like this. You're going to be at your keyboard, being a commando, you know, talking about how cool you are, secret squirrel, as you give all your public and private information out to the world, out to Zuckerberg's surveillance system. And yet, somehow or another, showing up to this is going to get you jammed up. So let me talk about what you need to do. What are the most critical things to making this a success? Well, one is you need to have a solid committee. And this committee is simply just, you know, friends and patriots that you know. But these are people you know that they're not contrarians. They're not going to be, these are solid people. Let's not have a debate here for the next 4 days talking about the word militia. You know, if that's your viewpoint, why are you doing this? So that's the kind of thing you got to think about. I mean, you got to put a committee together. You need that committee because you need that committee afterwards. You need that committee to run the militia once this is done, once you've got this thing together. Look, it takes a lot of work. You're going to need a website. You're going to need an email list. You're going to need a Facebook page, marketing. You're going to need leaders. How are you going to organize all that? Well, you need a group of people to do that organization. You can't just, we formed our committee. We had our big rally. Hooray for us. It's time to start moving forward. One of the things you're going to have to look at is probably around $300 in expenses. whether it's the renting of a pavilion or something at a park, which is probably going to cost you around $40, but you have a lot of printed material, signs that you're going to need to direct people where they need to go and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of stuff you might already have, but even if you were just to print these on your home printer, it's going to cost you, you know, about $300 for all this stuff. So keep that in mind. And, you know, you'll raise that back. And we raised, you know, plenty of money. Just put some donation jars out and people are happy to give to support this cause. One guy threw a $100 bill in at the Bedford County muster and said, and somebody said, "Well, you, sir, do you want change?" He says, "Not that kind of change," and just walked away. So people are plenty happy to support what this movement and what we're doing. But it's going to take people on the ground in your county to do it. I'm helping to organize a Campbell's muster, which is coming up. We kind of did it in a team effort for Bedford and Campbell because we're right next to each other. That's a way you could do it. I think that's a really effective way. If you have two counties that are next to each other and you know some people from both sides, form one big committee and you can split it once the musters are over. It gives you extra resources and extra people to help. If you don't do them on the same weekend, you have the added benefit of we're going to encourage everyone from Bedford to go help and support the muster in Campbell County. So it gives you a whole group of volunteers to help the neighboring county. And you can just keep growing this organically. But once it's over, you're going to need leadership. And the ultimate end game is to get county recognition. And so that's the next step for us. So we've got a couple different committees we're forming. We've got a media and marketing committee. We've got a medical committee, a communications committee. And those committees will be the group of patriots that's their skill set. And they want to move forward with that. I love ham radio. I'm a ham. But I can't do that and this and run everything and create the signals operating instructions and all that stuff. And I'm not a medical guy. I don't have any of that skill set. And so we need those people that can put that together and come up with some training ideas for that. And you need leaders. So all the people that said, "I have a military law enforcement background," there's your guys right there. Pull out that stack of cards and go through it and start contacting them and saying, "Hey, I'd like you to consider leading a group of people in this district or that district." You know, so for us, we figure we're going to need about 20 different lieutenants. The initial step would be to appoint them and say, "Hey, we need leaders." We do. We need leaders on the ground right now. And over time, probably 90 to 180 days, you need to hold a leadership election. And that's where the people in those broken out smaller groups throughout the district will elect and choose their leaders. And those leaders will then choose other leaders and on and on. And so if it's built from the bottom up instead of the top down, instead of the committee saying, "We're in charge because we say we're in charge and we're going to do X, Y, and Z." Well, that's initially how you have to do certain things. But that won't last. And that will build division. And you'll have breakoffs. And you'll have troublemakers. The contrarians that I mentioned earlier. They'll pop their heads up. As we're already seeing in various places. And there's nothing you can do with those people except move on. And just ignore them. Because they're unavoidable. In any organization, anywhere you go, those type of people are unavoidable. You can't get away from them. They're around. So let's talk about marketing, though. I've talked about where we're going. Let's go swing back a little bit back to marketing and talk about flyers. So these flyers, I think you should put them on big, bright orange, you know, blaze orange, because you can't miss that. When you see that, what is this? It almost looks like a building permit. People are always curious. Well, what's going on here? And they read them. You just can't miss them. But you need to get those flyers in every gas station, every bulletin board you can find, all over the county. And that's going to take work. That's going to take some volunteers. Not a lot. I mean, I figure if you had four or five people and just had a big stack everywhere you went, you stopped at a gas station, "Hey, can I put this out?" We drove around, myself and my friend John drove around on a Sunday afternoon towards Smith Mountain Lake, and we hit every gas station. It took us about, you know, 2 hours, but it worked. And, you know, Facebook did help. We set up a Facebook event through Gun Owners of Virginia, and I can help you do that if you want to do that for your county. Some people don't want things tied directly to their name. They don't want to set up an event. Botetourt was like that. One of the organizers didn't want for job reasons, didn't want his name directly tied to it, although that ended up getting out anyway. But they had, Sabatatat had over, I think, 250 sign up, which is outstanding for a smaller county like that. So a couple different ones coming up here. Amherst is coming up on the 7th. Franklin's coming up on the 7th of March. The 29th is Campbell County. And in fact, you can find out information about how to do this yourself at gunownersofvirginia.org. Just look up how to muster. And if you need help, contact me. There's lots of people. In fact, lots of these counties that have done this would be happy to help you. We have people coming from all over Virginia to support this movement. And this needs to be organic. This needs to come from the local level. This does not need to come from some big umbrella organization. This needs to come from you. So if it's not happening yet in your county, ask yourself why not? And why shouldn't you and your friends be the ones to do it? Will it be easy? I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be easy. This has been one of the busiest months I've had in a long time. But it's been very fulfilling and very good. And we've had a great response. The media has been very receptive to us. We made the lefties mad, which is wonderful. Always happy to make the Democratic Party mad. In fact, we've made them so mad, and we lit them up so much on Facebook that they took their page down. They took the post down. They took the page down. It was outstanding. I mean, what are you gonna ask for better than that? But you know, when it comes down to it, you need to pray. You need to pray that this is the right thing for you to do, and you need to pray that this is the right thing for your county to do, and that you're the one to do it. And God has faithfully blessed us here in Bedford and Campbell, and we're very thankful for that. We've got a great group of guys and their wives who have volunteered their time to make this happen. And that's what it's all about. This is about community. So give it a try. Give it a try. I think you will be very pleased with the results. All right. I wanted to talk about Zimbabwe. Before I do, I want to mention Bill Stanley. I've mentioned Bill before. Bill is the January Radio Free Virginia Freedom Fighter Award winner. And he posted this tonight, just now. That was yesterday. On the Senate floor, I tried to amend the state budget to give all of our men and women in the Virginia Sheriff's Department a 3% raise for this year. It was defeated, with all Democrats voting no. When I went up to get a vote count from the clerk, Majority Leader Dick Saslaw came up and said to me, "Hey Stanley, you want to know why your sheriffs didn't get a raise? Because they came to our committees and said they weren't going to enforce our laws." When I asked him which law he was talking about, he said, "Gun control." I was shocked that the Democrats are now punishing our local sheriff's departments by eliminating a pay raise for them, for their choice to protect and defend our citizens' Second Amendment rights. Democrats want to restrict a citizen's right to protect themselves, but won't pay our sheriff's deputies to protect Virginians. Hypocrisy has a name. And if you want to read some of the comments, which are quite enlightening from the lefty loons, go to Senator Bill Stanley on Facebook and just type in Senator Bill Stanley. You'll find his thing, and you can read that. Very interesting. Okay, now life in Zimbabwe. This is from biznews.com. Life in Zimbabwe, very, very scary. No food, no water, no medicine, no money. President Emmerson promised a break from the Mugabe-style regime when he staged a coup to oust his former friend. But since he became the country's leader in 2017, Zimbabwe has gone from bad to worse, to a very scary place in which to live. As Kathy Buckle, an author, explains, there is nothing left of anything. There's no power, no water, no food, no medicine, no money. It's hard to imagine a life that could be much harder. But Buckle points out that there's even more grim news. Not even food aid will be enough to stop millions of desperately poor, hungry people from starving. Zimbabwe needs urgent help. Meanwhile, South Africans are engaged in heated debates over whether land expropriation without compensation, the very policy that pushed Zimbabwe towards an economic abyss, should be implemented south of the Limpopo. a surprisingly loud voice coming from those who favor land grabs. So I'll give you a little background. I was in Zimbabwe in 1995. I went there with a missions group called Carpenter's Tools. And it was a singing organization, and we basically, they put together a band from all parts of the country, and they send that band to different places, and where we went was Zimbabwe. And it was kind of a providential thing. I was originally scheduled to go to South America, but they needed another singer, and so they moved me over to the Zimbabwe team. And I said, well, whatever, fine with me. And I'm really glad I got to go. Zimbabwe was a fun place. And at the time, the exchange rate there was 10 to 1. So $1 of ours was 10 of their dollars, and it wasn't bad. It's kind of like Mexico. If you remember Mexico back in that same era was the same way. I don't know what it's like now. I refuse to go there ever. Don't want to die at the hands of cartels. But the exchange rate wasn't bad. And at the time, Zimbabwe was... It was clearly socialist. We went around to different places. It was a wonderful place, wonderful people. Then they started the land grabs. Now, something you need to know is about Zimbabwe. It was the most prosperous South African country. And it was that because it was feeding the whole of the Southern African continent. So much food was coming out of Zimbabwe. And Mugabe, tyrant piece of garbage that he is, decided that, hey, I'm going to take the land and I'm going to give it to the people. Well, never mind the aspect of theft that is, or the suffering that brought upon those white farmers, because it was all white farmers. They weren't taking land from any the black property owners. It was only the white farmers. And so they took this land from them. And these people that they gave it to didn't know how to farm at all. And so these mobs would move into this land and they would strip it bare. They'd rip out the copper from the walls and they would just loot the place. And like locusts, just like Democrats, they would move on to the next place and the next place and the next place until there were no more farmers left in Zimbabwe that knew how to farm. But hey, you know, Mugabe helped him out, right? He gave everybody some land. And now South Africa's doing exactly the same thing. And it's starting to get bad there. So where do you go? Where do you go when you're pushed out? And so this is really interesting, because what Zimbabwe did to solve their problem was print money. They decided, hey, we're just going to make more money. We'll just keep printing money. And so the exchange rate started to really get bad. In fact, it got so bad that I bought one off of eBay as a gag. I actually have several. $100 trillion bills. $100 trillion bill. That at the time, you couldn't buy a loaf of bread with your $100 trillion. $1 trillion. A billion is $1,000,000,000. Just a billion is $1,000,000,000. And then we're talking trillions, hundreds of trillions of dollars. Their money was worthless. It is worthless. In fact, it no longer exists. That's how worthless it got. They deleted their currency. They don't have a currency anymore. But they're still totalitarian. So instead of saying, this is the problem with the left, instead of saying, you know what? That didn't work, did it? Oh, well, let's try something new. Nope. They continue with the same disastrous policies. Communism, and the popular term of the day, socialism, does make everybody equal, equally miserable, equally suffering, equally poor, or equally dead. And in the case of Zimbabwe right now, it's just a mess. And all the people that I knew, all the people that I would write letters to, they're all gone. I have no way to get in touch with them. I have no idea. I mean, we stayed at some beautiful properties. One of them was a game preserve. I have no idea what happened to them.
One fire fights, one fire, one nail, one nail.
So I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show about the Rhodesian Light Infantry. The Rhodesian Light Infantry is something you should research and look up. It's really interesting. And they would send, there's great YouTube videos of these guys. They were some of the, you know, they would up armor vehicles. They would drop these guys in the middle of nowhere with helicopters. And they were winning. They were winning the war. And effectively, I would say, my argument would be they won the war. But what happened in the process was, as they were fighting and winning this war, they were allowing the communists to run for office. And they were fighting the communists in the battlefield, but not recognizing the communists back home. Back home being, you know, they were fighting in their country. We don't have a concept of that in America. We've never fought on our shores for our liberty. Well, okay, twice we have. But it's been a long time. In our generation, everyone listening to this, and anyone that's ever existed, we haven't seen that in over 100 years. War on our shores. We don't remember what that's like, but they do. And so the same thing, and the reason I even mention Zimbabwe is because you need to understand your enemy. Your enemy wants you dead. And we want to pretend that they're, this is just a political movement. No, it's evil. The neo-Soviets are evil. And they want you dead. Essentially, what's going to happen at some point? At some point, you have to understand, this is going to come to blows. Right now, we're in the Cold Civil War. So far, not a shot has been fired. You know, the left has their proxy soldiers, the Antifa, but there's really not that many of them. And they really only pop up their heads in places where they can club old men and get away with it. You don't see them showing up in Richmond going up against a bunch of armed, peaceful civilians, do you? There's a lot that can be learned from what's going on in Zimbabwe. There's a lot that can be learned from what's going on in South Africa. And I hope we learn these lessons from looking at this going, wait a minute, we don't want that here. We have to start being forceful with our ideology and our viewpoints. And understand that there's not two sides to every story. There's not two rights here. There is right and there is wrong. We are right, they are wrong. We are good, they are evil. We are Christian, they are not. And we are patriots and they are not. And it's time for people to wake up. And that's what I love about this militia movement. I feel like this is people finally waking up. And now is not the time to demobilize. Now's the time to mobilize, push forward, and push this out to every county in Virginia. In fact, every county in the country, every county in the country should be doing this right now. And it's not hard. And what we should be doing is, no more of this, I'm going to be in a militia, secret squirrel, hiding out in the woods, training. No. We need to be out there right now. We need to be out there talking to people. Out there in the community, helping the community. So I think the militia is a great opportunity for that. And I'm really looking forward to see what the next few months bring to that movement. I think it's going to go slower than the Second Amendment Sanctuary movement because it's a much, much more nuanced issue than, hey, I want to protect the Second Amendment. I mean, you know, this isn't just a statement. This isn't a rally. This is an entire movement of people filling the role that they should be filling as local militia men and women. So I'm really looking forward to this. All right. So finally, come to you with this. I'll wrap up with this news report this blog report from a raconteurreport.blogspot.com. We already gave some pointers on doing some things that would actually be effective. Well, lo and behold, some people in Virginia decided to use their heads for something other than a hat rack. God love them. On Saturday, February 15th, more than 500 people showed up to the militia muster call in Bedford County to volunteer their energy and their skills to the cause. As advertised in the flyer for the muster call, which was posted on Facebook January 30th, registration for the militia was open to all able-bodied residents between the ages of 16 and 55. I'll skip down here. I love the photo. It says, "This is how you throat punch tyranny, not with gun Woodstock photo ops." Oh, I agree. He's right on there. "Attention hounds need not apply. Go Bedford militia." Love the captions. So what never before attempted magic did that group use to organize this historic assembly? What one trick was so effective that actually doing something would, you know, halt unconstitutional tyranny from occurring? They put up a Facebook post. Who knew you could talk to people on social media without requiring a parade permit, a podium, a PA system, a month's organizing, or charter buses a month in advance? Hey, Captain Obvious. So next question. In less than a month, without any gun Woodstocks, 90% of Virginia counties became 2A sanctuaries. So besides Bedford County, there are only 94 other counties and 38 independent cities in Virginia, 90% of whom are 2A sanctuaries. So what about the others? Crickets. If someone runs for office in Bedford County next election, do you think that those 500 patriotic Virginians in Bedford County just might be a good political force to be reckoned with that will metastasize into 5,000 or 50,000 votes? From here on out, how about that? For county sheriff, for state assembly, for state senate, for governor, for Congress, for U.S. Senate, for POTUS? So where are all the people that showed up for Gun Woodstock and all those other counties? Don't they have Facebook or the internet? Or are they just, you know, one-shot Johnny? "I went to Gun Woodstock. My work here is done." If they're serious, they should get cracking. If not, they should shut up and just roll over and see how it feels to live behind enemy lines and watch their birthright get voted out from under them by invading liberal hordes. Look to Bedford County. You like liberty? You want freedom? That's how you get liberty and keep your freedom. Learn that lesson. So I'm fully convinced that the only reason that the left backed down was they realized, hey, these people are serious. They've all got guns and they're pretty pissed off. And you're seeing stuff on Facebook and, well, there's a thing in Virginia called the Fusion Center. And it is essentially a clearinghouse of information. They have all kinds of data mining tools, all kinds of open source intelligence tools. They can set up fake profiles and let those things run with it. Search and do all kinds of cool stuff, and you can bet that their mass overload data dump that they were getting from patriots all across Virginia saying, "I've had enough of this." People are fed up. People are sick and tired of this nonsense. And you know, this author's right. I will warn you, he's got some language, but he's spot on with his analysis of what's going on. It's time for people to step up. Time for people to get the job done. What are you waiting for? The help is there. The resources are there. There is nothing stopping you from doing this yourself. Get to work, patriots. Okay, that's going to do it for this week's episode. I'd like to thank you for listening and invite you to come back next week. And please tell your friends. Exciting news. I just noticed we've clicked past 1,100 likes on our Facebook page. So please share the stuff we're posting and get it out there to as many patriots as you can. Help us to get the word out about the stuff that's going on. Next week's episode, I'm going to be doing a little bit of a breakdown on where laws are at right now, how many are on the way to the governor. We'll talk about stuff like that. And if you're wondering, all right, the song is called One Fire by a band called Rome, and the artist's name is Jerome Reuter, and it's a whole album about Rhodesia. So I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you. I'm nothing. One fire fights one.